A frozen, snow-covered Moscow square. A sentry stands on guard outside a plush residence. Inside, a square-jawed 40-something man paces a sumptuously decorated lounge. He addresses a small gathering. They were after Project Winter Harvest. But that's impossible, Marenkov.
Marenkov!
Our strategic computer system was tapped last night. Someone questioned it about the project's deployment of biological devices in Western Europe. General Marenkov, you're in charge of security. These leaks must be stopped. The gathering rises and departs. Bunin, wait for me outside. Bunin, a lean-faced, mustachioed man, raises a hand in acknowledgement. He leaves the room. He closes the door behind him and shakes his head. It has to be Angelo again. This spy must be dealt with before we're all destroyed. Trust no one, not even the project director. The portly, balding general exits the room without responding.
Bunin!
Bunin strolls in, cigarette hanging from slender, gloved fingers.
Yes, no.
How would you like to be in Zurich tomorrow night?
Oh,
Zurich? What business have I in Zurich? Winter harvest business. Zurich's not part of that project. It's not the project, Bunin. It's the project's security. But that's your department. I'm only the project director. Exactly. We think Angelo tapped the computer last night. We are setting a trap for him in Zurich, and you can help close it. I am at your service, Comrade General. Of course you are. It was your security that was breached. Lorimer presents a Mark Robson film. A train emerges from a tunnel into a snowy mountainous landscape. Starring Lee Marvin, Robert Shaw, Linda Evans. The train hurtles through the snowbound mountains. It crosses frozen points. Maximilian Schell, Mike Connors. Avalanche Express. The train climbs through the snowy wastes. A red signal turns green, co-starring Horst Buchholz and Claudio Cassinelli. And Joe Namath as Leroy. Supervisors of special effects, John Dykstra and Bruce Logan. The train hurtles along the tracks. Screenplay by Abraham Polonsky. Based on a novel by Colin Forbes. Produced and directed by Mark Robson. Basel Station on a cold, bright day. Commuters mill around the platforms. A tense blonde sits bolt upright at a table. The waiter brings her coffee. A van outside a station. Men unload a metal container. They observe a white car parked up. The driver taps on the wheel. A man in a cowboy hat and sheepskin places a call. Workers approach a train with mops, buckets and waste bags.
Oh, was besonders. Aber schön dreckig bist du. Schönes Fräulein.
A blonde workman helps a cleaning woman aboard.
Also, du geh ans andere Ende.
Schön.
The woman heads for the rear of the train. The blonde man opens a compartment. He locks the door behind him. He draws the blind down. He switches on the light. He takes a wrench out of a blue waste bag. He crouches under the sink. He loosens the nut holding the piping. In the cafe, the blonde stares at the time, 10 a.m. In the compartment, the workman separates out the piping and removes a microcassette. He pockets it. In the cafe, the blonde checks her watch. The workman clambers off the train. The blonde leaves the cafe. The workman heaves himself onto the opposite platform. The woman sashays down the platform, a suitcase and open bag in her hands. The workman clips the blonde on the shoulder. The microcassette rests on top of her bag. The blonde boards a first-class compartment. The workman disappears through a door marked Service. Two men push the workman back into a stairwell. One assailant stuffs a rag in the workman's mouth and cocks a gun. The other searches the workman, then examines his laundry bag and the waste bag. The wrench clinks on the ground. The assailant removes the gag and aims a gun at the workman's throat.
You put something in the Moscow wagon lead. Where?
Nothing. Let's take him.
I've nothing. No money. I'm poor.
Move. Move!
The men escort the workman at gunpoint to the waiting white car. The man in the cowboy hat and sheepskin, Leroy, hangs up the phone. The assailants bundle the workman into the back of the white car. The van workers and Leroy dash for the car and attack the men, holding the workman captive. They force the assailants into the back of the van. The workman punches the man who gagged him.
That's enough, Deckerman. That's enough. Deckerman, lose the car. John, hang in here and see if anyone comes looking for these Kremlin hotshots.
Right, dear boy.
Leroy sprints into the station. He dashes for the train the blonde boarded. He runs up beside it and hops on the final compartment. He traipses through the corridor, inspecting each compartment as he goes. He spots the blonde. She looks up as he leans in and plucks the microcassette from the top of her bag. Leroy continues along the corridor. He flops into a seat several compartments down. He places the microcassette in a blue flight bag. At Zurich Station. Leroy gets out of first class and strolls along the platform. The blonde follows at a discreet distance. At a kiosk, Leroy drops the blue flight bag on the floor right next to an identical flight bag. The blonde looks on. Leroy reads a paper next to a 60-something man in a camel coat and flat cap. The 60-something snatches Leroy's bag and strides away. Leroy follows the 60-something as he descends the station steps and climbs into a waiting black car. A private jet whines on a slushy runway. The black car approaches and pulls up next to the jet. The man in the camel coat boards the jet. A curly-haired man waits inside.
You're 7 minutes late, Harry.
Traffic.
The man in the camel coat, Harry, drops the microcassette into the other man's hand.
Let me patch this in and get it decoded, and then we'll talk, huh?
Harry frowns when he sees the blonde. She sits reading a magazine.
Oh, hello, Harry.
I thought you two might be happy to see each other. You know, kiss and make up.
Oh, we're working the same circuit again, huh? So what's it going to be this time?
Harry joins her.
Friendship?
No, thanks.
Then what do you suggest? Something like a more reasonable relationship?
That's what we have now, Harry.
I don't understand.
We have nothing at all.
The plane takes off. The curly-haired man sets up the equipment on the plane.
Ready to hear playback.
Harry and Elsa draw nearer.
This is Angelo. Tape 15. The last tape I'm sending you. Our next contact will be of a more personal nature. Friday next, Milan. La Scala Opera House. Midday tour.
That's only 3 days from now.
If you have been correctly analyzing recent intelligence, then you must be aware of our little disagreements here in Moscow that have been taking
place. Sounds like the Angelo faction is losing ground to the Hawks.
Yes, but how much ground?
Unfortunately, the militarist hardline is prevailing. If unchecked, this could only lead to disaster. Project Winter Harvest has been reactivated under the direction of Colonel Nikolai Bunin. Agents throughout Europe will be equipped with the weapons for possible activation in the event of crisis.
He's talking about biological warfare.
I thought Winter Harvest was buried.
Not if Bunin's involved.
Well, let's hear the rest of the tape.
My knowledge of the details of the plan is incomplete. However, Bunin's is not. And I'm coming out before it is too late. The Colonel is presently in Zurich. If Winter Harvest is not stopped now, we shall all pay the consequences. See you at the opera.
Fascinating. I fail to see where I fit into all of this.
Initially, we brought you into the operation to take over security for the Angelo connection.
I know that.
Now I've got to keep you aboard to protect Angelo.
Elsa?
Elsa? She's been Angelo's primary contact.
Harry glowers at the curly-haired man, Haller.
Now look, Harry. Angelo is big. We don't want to lose him. You heard the tape.
I heard the tape. Kind of short notice, isn't it?
Harry pours a beer. He offers some to Elsa. They lock eyes. She takes the offering.
See you at the opera.
Milan. Three monks make for the Museo Teatrale.
Now let me show you my favorite composer. He was born in a small...
Harry and Leroy cast a half eye over the exhibits.
But he had such a musical talent that was unsurpassed...
It's late, Matt. There's no sign of anybody.
Yeah, and we don't even know who we're looking for.
But the family and the village recognize...
Harry mixes in with the tour.
That's why he was sent to Milan to study in the conservatory. See? Giuseppe Verdi.
He scans the gathering.
Able with his music to capture the soul of the Milanese and the Italian people. And that was before the independence. Now, let me show you the auditorium. Here they are rehearsing Nabucco, the opera by Verdi.
The tourists troop towards the auditorium. Harry mingles in. They step out onto a balcony overlooking a sumptuous gold-gilded auditorium. A thick red velvet curtain hangs behind them. A choir practices center stage. Harry scrutinizes the boxes which encircle the stage. His eyes drop to the lower circle. A voice addresses him from behind the curtain.
Angelo here.
The curtain parts on Marenkov.
This is crazy, don't you?
Yes, it is me. Who?
Harry glances around, then dashes out and opens a box next to the balcony.
Let's go.
Leroy, Harry and Marenkov leg it down the steps. The monks follow. A man jumps out and fires a pistol. A monk tackles the shooter.
Come on, let's move!
Harry helps Marenkov away. The monk points a gun at the shooter.
Thank you.
The fake monks dress Harry and Marenkov in habits. A white van draws up outside the Museo Teatrale.
Molinari's here. Let's move it!
They dash through the corridors and out onto the street. A group of monks cluster around the van. They bundle Marenkov inside.
Second chair.
Haller is waiting to greet him. A green Mercedes tears through the snowy Italian backstreets. The van drives through the Piazza del Duomo. In the van, an Italian guard checks a siren signal. The green Mercedes rips through the piazza. In the van, the guard squints through a panel at the pursuing green Mercedes.
There is a green Mercedes following us with three men inside. We try to take them out. We're ready.
Better use the belt.
The guard grabs a submachine gun fastened to the van. The van skids through Milan streets. The green Mercedes is in hot pursuit. The van accelerates across a square. A car pulls out in front of the Mercedes, which swerves violently, but returns to the pursuit. The van knocks over a box of vegetables. The Mercedes bashes through the entire boxed produce. The van horns. A pair of heavy arched doors at the end of a narrow street fling open. The van squeals through the courtyard and out of a second exit. The Mercedes follows the van into the courtyard. The second exit is sealed. The Mercedes circles the courtyard, a fly caught in a spider's web. It swerves from one exit to the next. A man jumps out of the passenger seat and opens fire. The police return fire and shoot the man dead. A second man leaps out of the car and surrenders. The van pulls up abruptly and its occupants transfer to another identical van. Elsa oversees the operation. Elsa joins them in the second van.
Pleased to meet you, Miss Lang. Our snapshots and our film clips of her do not do her justice.
The van horns and a set of double doors open. Guards swing open a wrought iron gate. The van drives slowly into a courtyard where armed carabinieri keep surveillance. The van reverses and stops. The occupants climb out.
This is one of your safe houses I didn't know about.
Well, if you had, it wouldn't be.
They'll know about it tonight.
You'll be gone by then.
Where to?
The promised land.
Too soon. I'm not ready to go yet.
General, before we discuss your plans or our plans, I think it's important that you provide us with the names and locations of all secret agents and operations you have any knowledge of. It's for your safety as well as ours.
No. Wrong time. Wrong place. Thank you. You see? Angelo has an agreement with Washington. See cassette number 2. That I am not to be debriefed until I arrive safely in the United States. Mr. Haller, I want Colonel Wargrave in entire charge of these proceedings until further notice.
It's perfectly all right with me, but I will have to check with Washington. After all, General, you are the third most powerful man in the Soviet Union.
Oh, no, sir. I am the first most powerful man in the Soviet Union now that I have left it.
I could bury you in a missile site.
No good. We have to give them a chance. We have to let Puny have a chance to kill me. Because you see, Colonel, if we get Puny, we stop Project Winter Harvest.
How long?
Till I say enough.
A tight-faced miner, Trilby, enters a Zurich import-export shop. Bunin receives a vidiprinter message. Lost our entire Yugoslav-Italian network, direct from Marshal Praxel. Turn over entire clandestine intelligence to Colonel Bunin. Bunin shakes his head.
There are 2 messages here, Rudy. 1, Milan failed.
I didn't know that there was anything going on in Milan.
Well, I did. You see? General Marinkov has defected. Save your surprise for another time, Rudy. That's what you call a friend. There's a 2nd message I'm afraid you won't like either. This is your authorization from Marshal Prachko to turn over, to me, the entire clandestine military intelligence setup under your control in Europe.
They're in deep reserve in case of war.
I know that.
Be my chief concern. My sole responsibility. It's taken years to set them up.
Listen, Marinkov knows too much. We are no longer involved in an ordinary intelligence operation. We are pretty close to a political crisis. My orders are to eliminate Marinkov at any cost. So therefore, I need the best, the most secret forces we have hidden here in Europe. They have been yours, and now they're mine. So, locate Marinkov in Milan. Alert all your first strike units in Switzerland and Italy on a war basis.
Would you like me to choose you a tie?
Yes, very much.
Marinkov watches Elsa leave. Haller and Harry enter.
Gentlemen? Well, Mr. Haller, how do you like me? Ordinary enough for you?
General Marinkov, what is your plan?
My plan is to force Bunin to destroy himself by trying to destroy me. Oh. That's where I need your help.
I do have a little proposal. We take the Atlantic Express from Milan. By way of Zurich, Basel, Germany, Belgium, Rotterdam, Amsterdam.
First class, no doubt.
Right.
Harry dashes out of the room.
The train. You really think it's worth the risk?
We don't know. For us, he's just a piece of luggage to be delivered safely to Washington for them to unpack. But we'll use him to flush out Bunin's whole secret military intelligence operations in Europe. People they've had buried for 20 years. Agents held in deep reserve for potential all-out war. I'm probably going to have to try everything and everybody to get him. And we clean him out, if we survive.
Marinkov fashions his tie.
Where both her brothers live.
Elsa stares at him intently.
Took me home again, till life is hard today.
Harry sits in a Fiat which trundles through central Milan. The Fiat makes a beeline for the main station where the Atlantic Express is boarding.
Attention, Atlantic Express now boarding on platform 12. Atlantic Express.
The car drives up to where workers are loading the train for the journey. Harry gets out dressed in a porter's uniform. He takes a lift. He places a porter's cap on his head. From a girder on high, a man dressed as a carabiniero trains his gun on the lift exit. He fixes the crosshairs on Harry and fires. Harry collapses on the floor. A crowd surrounds Harry. The Atlantic Express departs. A second train approaches from the opposite direction. As the trains draw level, Haller drops from a compartment. Elsa climbs out from the driver's cabin of the approaching train. She is followed by Marenkov. Marenkov climbs on board the Atlantic Express. Elsa and Haller jump on behind him. The Atlantic Express chugs away. The men troop through into a compartment where a radio device and microphone are located.
Elsa? Elsa, I've got some bad news.
It's about Harry.
What?
They shot him, leaving the elevator with the baggage. A
sniper. Harry's dead. Elsa, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry for you and Harry. I'm sorry for all of us.
Elsa turns and runs. The train speeds through the countryside.
Wargrave is reported dead.
Who gave the orders to shoot him?
I didn't. I don't know. Perhaps Moscow?
I am Moscow. I didn't give such orders.
We are not his only enemies.
Well, try to find out who killed him.
We are trying hard, Comrade Colonel.
Send her up, please.
But why did Marenkov defect? Why would he?
How should I know? How should I know what's going on in a man like this? I don't understand it either, but... You see, reasons before the fact are predictions. And reasons after the fact are what astronomers call noise. Sounds that don't signify. We know he has done it. Let's undo it. Wait, wait.
Nikolai.
Olga. So good to see you. Everything all right?
Perfect.
Wonderful. Let me see it.
Bounine examines the document the peroxide blonde is carrying.
Good. 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 This is excellent. We have all the information we need. Marenkov is on the train, Rudy. And a half a dozen carabinieri.
It will take a special operations attack.
That we have. Here are the numbers, the names, and the codes. Call them. Call Lugano. Strike operative. And alert our Andermatt team to be ready for a backup operation. Come. Let's have some tea. This smoking is just killing me. You know, I was just thinking...
What?
I was just thinking I might have to get myself on that train. But the problem is, Marenkov knows me too well.
Do we have someone on the train?
Yes. We have a mole, the last two cars, and a mouse in one of the others.
The Atlantic Express pulls up at Chiasso Station.
One hour.
Carabinieri clamber out of a first-class compartment. A second group of officers climb on board. Elsa raises the blind and looks out. The train continues its journey. Elsa unlocks the compartment door to let Hallett and Geiger in. Marenkov is playing solitaire in his room. Hallett enters. He leans against a sideboard and smiles. He reaches into his inside pocket and extracts a cigarette packet.
Have you any interesting news for me, gentlemen?
No. Soviets haven't even announced your defection.
They're waiting to announce my death.
A bit premature.
Have you announced Colonel Wargrave's death?
Haller takes a cigarette from his mouth. He and Geiger walk away. Elsa unbolts the doors and lets them out. Elsa appears at Marenkov's door.
Coffee?
No, thanks. Do you hate me? I didn't kill him.
Elsa studies Marenkov's face. Marenkov gets up and shuts her out.
Excuse me.
An utterly dejected Elsa traipses down the corridor. She grips her hands on the railing and drops her head. Through the darkness, in the driver's cab.
Lots of snow in the mountains this year.
Plenty of snow on the ground, too. Unlike us, it goes where it pleases.
What about some coffee?
Yeah, yeah.
The carabiniero eyeballs his colleague behind him, who brings over a flask of coffee. The carabiniero pours the coffee, then offers the co-driver some.
Coffee?
The co-driver turns. It is Harry. The snow billows across the tracks. An engine shoots through points.
Despite the snow, it's on time. The Atlantic is 5 minutes behind.
Marenkov, his hands clasped behind his head, paces up and down the corridor. He straightens himself and forces his shoulder blades back. Elsa appears with a tray of food.
You hungry?
No. Bored.
Marenkov takes a seat.
Sit down, Elsa. Please.
Elsa places the tray to one side. Marenkov eyeballs her.
We have nothing to talk about.
Yes, we can talk about you. About Wargrave. How you met.
Could be one of your more amusing stories. An embassy party in Paris. So pleased with myself. Young, foreign correspondent, woman.
And he fell in love with all three of you?
All two. Well, after a passionate week of flattery, we ended up at the usual restaurant, usual candlelight. And Elsa, eager to say yes to anything. And he leaned across the table and he took my hand and he said, "Would you drop off a little package for me in Yugoslavia?"
Marenkov nods.
"And that is how he recruited you."
He offers Elsa his hip flask.
"But he loved you."
"No. I loved him."
Elsa takes a nip. A Mercedes and Jeep pull up in an icy field. A distressed woman jumps out of the Mercedes and sprints to the signal box. She thumps on the door.
"Please, I have to use your telephone. I have to get a doctor, please. Hurry, please."
The guard opens up and a man hits him in the face. The woman changes the signal to red.
"You have a wife, don't you?"
"Yes, almost."
"Tell me."
Marenkov puts his flask down.
"You like sad stories?"
"They're the ones I know."
"After the war, I was a young officer in command of a remote region in White Russia. I fell in love with a young woman. Like you, she was a natural leader, and therefore, like me, a Communist Party member. They were always calling her away on emergencies. And I was stuck in this town. A little more than a village, really. Just a ruin. But I loved her. I wanted to marry her. So, one day I said, it's now or never. The day before the wedding, another crisis. They called her away. She told me she would be back for the ceremony, no matter what. So, the guests are all gathered together. I am dressed in my best uniform. The band is playing, the bear is dancing, there's joy and laughter. Suddenly the telephone, it's a stranger's voice. There's been an accident. She has been driving too fast to get back to our wedding. She was dead. I told nobody. I held the entire ceremony without her, without the bride. I even danced with the bear."
"I know you were married, General. And I know your wife committed suicide."
A tight-lipped Marenkov narrows his eyes and turns away. In the driver's cabin, Harry notices the signals are showing amber.
"Call the Swiss at Lugano. Find out what the delay is on the line before Vera."
"Lieutenant."
Marenkov paces.
"It was Joseph Stalin's last days. The nightmare days. Every night when I came home, my wife used to ask me, 'How many of your friends have you sent to prison today?' She was not a party member. We had terrible fights. Every time I'd come home, she used to nag me. She used to shout, 'What kind of leaders are you who are afraid to be killed? Leaders who are afraid to die. Leaders must lead.' I'd shout back. I used to shout, 'What do you know? What can I do?' But you see, one night when I came home, she had killed herself."
"And you waited all these years for revenge?"
"I had to have the patience to wait all these years for revenge."
The train slows.
609. Signal 68 is red.
Anything?
There's an unauthorized stop signal on the track, Colonel Wargrave, and if we try to pass it, it cuts the power and the train will be stopped.
Then we'll be attacked. Prepare to defend the engine. Sound the red alert.
The Jeep and the Mercedes, both now snow-covered, are parked under the pines. The woman loads up a semi-automatic.
Leroy! John!
Leroy and John grab their weapons. The driver decelerates. Harry runs along a corridor. Marenkov peers from his room.
Get back inside and close the door!
The Jeep and the Mercedes set off. The train screeches to a halt.
Turn off those lights!
What's going on here? What's the matter?
Everybody in their compartments will stay on the floor!
The Jeep and the Mercedes speed under the railway bridge. The men in the Jeep open fire, shattering the train windows.
Help! Help!
On the floor, everybody! On the floor!
Leroy returns fire and kills a shooter.
Going to help Elsa! From Hella to Elsa! From Hella to Elsa! John's coming to help you!
Okay, read you.
Haller crashes a machine gun through a window and hits the Jeep. It smashes into a tree and explodes.
Elsa?
Elsa dives back, gunfire down the corridor. They fire at the car.
Wargrave!
Harry!
John fires at a padlock. Harry and the guard leave. Harry comes back.
Where's John?
You very tricky.
Where's
bastard.
John?
He's in a back car with Elsa and Marenkov.
Harry, the guard, and Leroy run. John fires into an empty compartment. Harry shoots at a lock. John turns back. A woman falls out of the car. John leaps from the train. John runs for the car. Leroy has him in his sights. He and Harry fire. John falls out of the car.
Baron, come! Elsa!
Elsa comes out of a compartment.
Elsa. You...
Where's Marenkov?
I don't know where he is.
You were supposed to be with Marenkov.
Harry turns and goes back up the corridor. Elsa stares after him.
Marenkov! Marenkov, it's Wargrave!
Harry gets off the train and walks past the sleeping car. Marenkov slides down the snowy embankment.
I'm cold out here. Colder than Moscow. Too hot in that train.
Well, it'll be cooler now.
They shake hands. Harry ushers Marenkov onto the train and climbs on, looking over his shoulder. The train moves off. Elsa stands at a window, her face somber. In the corridor, an officer fits a blind over a broken window.
So you didn't trust any of us, huh? Had to play it all on your own.
Well, I had no choice. Only Colonel Molinari had no connection with the original group. If there was a mole among us, it had to be Haller, Leroy, John, Neckerman, or else. So the Colonel arranged the sniping. I played the victim.
You suspected every one of us.
Why not?
You suspected me. You never suspected yourself, of course.
I always suspected him. When he told me before we left, if the train is attacked and stopped, get out and hide in the snow, I thought he wanted me to freeze to death.
But he didn't even tell me where you would be.
Relax, Colonel. We're still alive, aren't we?
They exchange glances.
I liked you better dead.
She leaves. Night. The train races on. A map. Andermatt. St. Gotthard. Airolo. A pencil circles Andermatt.
Signal Andermatt. Tell him to go ahead with the operation on the Wasserhorn and then abandon everything in Zurich.
Bounin lights a cigarette. He sits in a barber's chair. A man prepares to shave him. A model head of a bearded man stands nearby. A passport lies open beside a makeup case, showing a photograph of a bearded man.
Oh, by the way, the real gold chap doesn't smoke.
What? Doesn't smoke?
That'll
kill me.
The train moves on along a snow-covered mountainside. Tall pines cling to the sides. Haller sits smoking a cigarette at an open window.
The weather is clearing around Vyaska. I roll over the St. Gotthard Canyon. Very bad on the other side of the mountain. Blizzards of hurricane force building.
Find out if the Davos weather station helicopter can survey the pass for us.
If the weather holds, I'm sure they'll try.
This is where I'd try my best shot if I was Booney. There's no way to protect the train here.
Lights flash on the mountainside. A helicopter flies. The co-pilot looks out with binoculars. A little cluster of lights gleams far below.
Atlantic, this is Davos Airmobile 1 on station. Now surveying your route. Stand by, Atlantic.
The helicopter is out. They'll give direct reports to us and check avalanche situations along the route.
It's uphill all the way from now on. All the way to Goshen. Well, Elsa.
She turns away. He halts her.
Sorry. I had to use you.
He kisses her hand.
Don't feel bad, Harry. I only cried crocodile tears.
Gorge. It banks steeply, rounding a peak. The co-pilot scans the snowscape.
Atlantic. Davos 1, we have entered the pass. We'll attempt to overfly Wasserhorn Summit and report conditions. Stand by, Atlantic.
We're getting the first reports from the Davos helicopter.
Speaking on the horn.
The helicopter continues through the pass. The co-pilot watches the ground through binoculars. On a snowbound peak below, two figures stand.
Atlantic, Davos 1. Have sighted two skiers on Wasserhorn Summit. Repeat, two men on summit.
I hear you, two skiers.
We are going in for a closer look.
The helicopter approaches. The figures on skis watch as it passes them and continues downwards into the valley. One skier moves off, another unreels a wire and attaches it to a detonator. The helicopter flies over again. The pilot glances down. The detonator is primed. An avalanche begins, a mass of snow turning to powder and slowly beginning its descent.
Avalanche. Atlantic, they have set up an avalanche.
A cloud of snow flows down the gorge towards the village. The helicopter is bounced sideways.
It's falling towards the village. Your only chance is the tunnel.
Elsa, get Haller and Leroy.
The avalanche, like a slow fluid, topples over a cliff face. Far below, the train races for the tunnel.
Engineer, we are in definite avalanche danger. Give me everything you've got. All speed.
You'll be safe if we can get to the tunnel.
I know about the tunnel, but can we get there in time?
Not at this speed.
What would happen if we lost a few cars?
About three?
Three? Good. Take it, Mecklen.
Elsa, get Marenkov up to the dining car.
Leroy, give me a couple of pounds of plastique and an automatic detonator. Molinari, have all the people move forward beyond the dining car. Haller, get on a couple of the last three cars so we can get some speed up the hill into the tunnel. Once there, we're safe.
The train rounds a bend in a steep valley. Forest and snowbanks on either side. The avalanche plunges on, toppling pine trees. The lights of the village glow. More trees are torn up by their roots by the weight of the snow. In the village, a car leaves the chalet. People come home. The train passes a signal. Haller gives Harry explosives and a detonator. The avalanche grows, loosening snow and trees, gathering speed. In the village, a party begins. On the train, Molinari runs along the corridor.
Everybody out, this is an emergency. Everybody out, take your luggage.
The train moves on. In the village, guests arrive. Snow comes through the trees, everything turns white. The train crawls on, snow and debris hurtle downwards.
Everybody out, close it. On your hands again.
The avalanche continues.
Come on.
Take your hand luggage on.
The avalanche tears loose an outcrop of land. Snow and debris plunge towards the village. On the train, Elsa and Haller hurry along the corridor. The avalanche advances. In the village, people run out of the chalet, hoping to escape.
Everybody out. This is an emergency.
The train rounds a bend. The landscape near the village disintegrates in the path of the avalanche. People run for their cars. The avalanche looks almost vertical. Village lights glow as a mass of snow falls towards it. People run for cover, cars collide. The avalanche hits the village, houses, people, cars, all disappear. The train moves on. Harry steps out and unfixes a coupling between carriages. Chains still hold them together. The avalanche streams on, obliterating everything. Balancing between carriages, Harry reaches to undo the chains.
It's frozen! Forget it, Harry! I'll have to blow it!
The avalanche gathers speed, tearing up more trees. Harry reaches for the explosives and detonators. Haller hands them to him. The avalanche plunges towards the railway line. Harry fixes the explosives to the links. Snow hurtles down the mountain towards the train. Haller hands Harry the last component. A slab of the mountain is dislodged and joins a mass of snow and debris. The mountain seems to rear over the train.
Everybody back! Three, four, five, down!
They crouch as a coupling explodes, shattering the dining car. The back carriages are free. The train speeds away. The avalanche continues its near vertical fall. The abandoned carriages reach a bridge across a valley. The avalanche hurls carriages and bridge into the abyss. Only the struts of the bridge remain. Moving faster, directly below the avalanche, the train approaches the mouth of the tunnel. Snow hits the rear carriage. The train enters the tunnel with not a second to spare. The avalanche covers the railway line.
The explosion must have disconnected the battery system.
Yes, but we are still moving along. And in a moment the grade begins to go down. And we'll be able to coast through the tunnel down to the next substation, where we automatically pick up power for the train again.
Harry, we have two more flashlights.
Haller hands a torch to Harry. Harry moves along the dark train and reaches Elsa. He kisses her.
It's the first time you've kissed me where half of it didn't belong to Uncle Sam.
That half was scared to death.
I don't like this world. An avalanche to kill Marinkov, a lousy Russian defect.
Elsa, I got you into this long before I left.
She leans towards him, they kiss again. Night, outside the Hotel Zehnerfelder. A taxi pulls up. A blonde bearded man smoking a cigarette gets out and pays the driver. He goes into the hotel. In the lobby, Geiger reads, Helga drinks coffee. The man goes to the desk.
Is it going, Chuck?
Yes, sir, you have a reservation. 218, sir.
The man takes the key and goes to the lift. Helga and Geiger both get up. They stand either side of the bearded man as he waits. He bows to Helga. She gets in the lift first. Men work at the desk as the lift passes upwards through a central shaft. The blonde man leaves the lift. Helga and Geiger remain. The man walks down a corridor. The lift carries on upwards with its two passengers. Helga gets out. The blonde man walks upstairs. Geiger continues up in the lift. Geiger gets out and glances down the stairwell. The blonde man continues upstairs. Geiger enters a room. The blonde man approaches along the corridor. His gloved hand touches his moustache. At room 418, he knocks. Geiger lets him in. The blonde man lights a cigarette.
Here I am, Dr. Heinz Golchek. Or Colonel Nikolai Bunin, or as you please.
Professor Heinz Kolchak, I'm taking a chance of meeting you because by now your cover story is in danger.
I came for help.
Sit down, Geiger, sit down. For a change, listen to me. Your group, having pulled off an idiot attack to free some of your people awaiting trial in Hamburg, ended up killing 20 innocent onlookers and are now holed up in a miserable hovel in Willich, not knowing which way to turn.
But I have to help them. That's why I'm here.
I have a proposal to help. I offer you a clear deal. There's a Soviet freighter, the Maxim Gorky, off the coast of Rotterdam. Once aboard, your people will be free. The freighter's on its way to Angola, and as you know, you will be safe there.
They'll accept that. What do you want them to do?
What they always do, blow up something. I want the Atlantic Express destroyed. And I want it to be a full Geiger Group operation, in the Geiger uniform, with the black ski mask, the black windbreakers, the black boots, and the black pants. And no survivors on that train.
I'll need a guarantee of that escape route.
Naturally, so do I. I'll be on the train and on the Gorky.
Dusk, the train runs on.
I've got Colonel Shorten on the telephone. He'll take over for the Dutch when the Atlantic gets to Holland. He also warns that the German police reports the Geiger Group is somewhere in the Willich area. They're obviously waiting to cross into Holland.
Shelton, Wargrave here. Can you hear me? Then listen carefully. I want you to let the Geiger Group through.
Haller gets up.
Yes, I know we're the probable target, but I want you to let them through. Have you got that? Right.
Express now arriving on track 16.
In the station, Olga watches. So do Geiger and Helga. A train pulls in. Armed policemen set off towards it. The policemen watch the passengers.
Disembarking passengers, proceed to your right. Disembarking passengers, proceed to your right.
Olga watches as Bunin arrives, bearded and wearing a hat. He walks past the policeman. Bunin goes into the station cafe and gets a drink. With fussy movements, he tips powder from a tiny box into his cup. The police ignore him. A man pushes a baggage trolley up to the guard's van. He waits, hand in pocket. Three carriages approach.
Lost three cars in an avalanche. Replacing them. Attention, all passengers. Atlantic Express, now boarding on...
In the cafe, passengers rise from their seats. Bunin puts his hat on and goes out. Helga is frisked with a detector and passes onto the platform. Olga watches, then moves off. Geiger sets off an alarm.
It's all right, gentlemen. I know what it is.
He hands over a small electronic device.
I carry a diplomatic passport, and as such, I don't have to submit to this, but as a courtesy to the Swiss government, I'm happy to.
They let him on. Bunin arrives.
Collecting books, are you?
Well, I'm selling them at an auction in Sotheby's in London.
Uh-huh. That's all right.
The official returns a case of books.
The Atlantic has left. Send a signal to Willy.
Olga hangs up the phone. The train departs. The sun sets over the rainy city. On board, Harry carries a coffee jug and cups. He glances into a compartment where Marenkov lies asleep. He looks in at Elsa.
Why don't you get some sleep? It's quiet. Marenkov's asleep. Dreaming up history. Leroy's up in the engine, ready for anything. Haller's writing a report about nothing. And I'm watching the story.
And I'm watching the night roll by.
What about coffee?
Harry comes into the compartment and puts down the jug and cups. He takes Elsa's hand.
What could Marenkov want out of this for himself?
Better life for himself.
How do you know?
Who would? Don't forget Elsa. He's a monster. With feelings.
Elsa smiles.
That makes him human.
They look into each other's eyes. They kiss.
Welcome in the Netherlands.
Schulten.
Welcome to Holland. Have your passport...
Schulten. Good to see you.
Schulten gets on the train. Harry looks around carefully, then follows him. Molinari waves from the platform as the train pulls out. Schulten and Harry go down the corridor. Molinari strides down the platform.
Julian.
Haller.
Schulten.
Neckermann. Any news? Something new, something different. There's a Russian freighter, the Maxim Gorky.
It's lying right outside our territorial waters, bobbing up and down like a piece of cork and going nowhere instead of to Angola.
They're picking up agents, I hope.
Trying to, I guess. But so have we. Any sign of Bunin?
Yeah, nothing. I think I'm going to check train security again myself.
I'm going to take it man for man.
I'll follow along, Heller. Coming, Harry?
Oh, no, I'm babysitting our teddy bear.
Harry looks both ways. Bunin, still disguised, leaves the compartment where Geiger and another man sit. Geiger joins him in the corridor, cigarillo in mouth. He closes the door.
In the car, right behind the engine, the rear toilet, the welded piece next to the ceiling will come out. Inside are four grenades, two pistols, one submachine gun. Planted there in Milan by a man I had there, Philip John.
I cannot make my move until the Scholten group returns to the rear of the train.
They will by the time you have to start. We still have more than 20 kilometers to go. I'll join you up forward.
Geiger goes up the corridor showing his ticket to a guard.
Knock.
Bunin watches and returns to his compartment. Geiger walks up the corridor past the other passengers. He continues until he reaches Helga's compartment. He leans in and kisses her. They move out into the corridor.
Soon we won't have time. We'll be across the bridge and then Rotterdam.
There'll be plenty of time.
He glances at Haller advancing down the corridor.
Stay here.
Helga smiles at Haller as he passes. He doesn't look in the compartment where Geiger sits. The corridor remains busy. Geiger rises. Haller looks in at a WC. Scholten looks behind, close on his heels. Geiger goes down the corridor. Bunin enters the dining car. Geiger glances over his shoulder, then enters a toilet and locks a door. Standing on a seat, he takes out the device he showed customs officials and uses it to open a sliding ceiling panel. Daytime. The train moves on under grey skies. From behind the concealed panel, Geiger takes more grenades. He puts them in his pockets. The train rolls past fields and flat countryside. Geiger removes one more grenade and a pistol. He pockets a grenade and puts the gun in the back of his waistband. From the concealed space, Geiger takes out a submachine gun. He looks at it, then puts it back. Haller makes a friendly remark to Bunin. Meanwhile, Geiger replaces the panel. He leans out of the door. Bunin comes up behind him.
Give me one of those grenades.
Geiger hands him a grenade.
We'll meet at the speedboat, huh?
Bunin pockets the grenade. Geiger pushes past people in the corridor and returns to Helga. She stands up and kisses him.
Hello.
Hello.
He slips two grenades into her hand. She puts them in her pocket. The train runs on. Two guards light cigarettes and sit down. Suddenly, Geiger appears pointing a gun.
Stay still.
This thing.
Move. We're all dead. Come on.
Helga runs past. Helga hurries up the corridor. Outside the driver's cab, she removes her grenade pins with her teeth. She opens the door. Leroy turns, gun in hand.
If you shoot me, the grenades explode. We all die. Slow off the train. Stop it before the mast bridge. Or else I open my hands. Open that door. Wide!
Leroy opens the door and stands beside it.
Stop it! Stop it! Go back!
Hey, take it easy. It's stopping.
Slowing down, the train approaches a bridge across a river. Helga stares at Leroy. She holds two grenades in her hands. On the riverbank, a man in a helmet and mask aims a machine gun at the train.
Everyone down! We're under attack!
Figures in black fire on the train. Leroy eyes Helga's hands. Bunin pulls off the false moustache. Elsa fires from a window. Harry runs beside the train, gun in hand. Geiger gets off the train. Bunin jumps from a window.
Go! Go!
Leroy grips Helga and leaps out with her. Harry gapes. Grenades explode as they hit the water. Marankov looks out of the train. Black-clad figures continue firing. One hurls a grenade. Marankov pushes Elsa to safety. Slowly the train crosses the bridge. Marankov and Elsa jump out of the train and roll down the bank. Harry runs, then stops on the bridge. Geiger runs towards him, gun in hand. Both shoot. Geiger pitches into the river. Bunin, no longer disguised, runs to a speedboat. Marankov follows.
Bunin! Bunin!
Harry pursues Bunin. Two men in black wait on the boat. Bunin leaps aboard. Marankov and Elsa watch from the bank. Marankov raises his gun, but the boat speeds out of range. The boat moves under the bridge and out of sight. Harry and Sholton run to the body.
It's Geiger.
He's dead.
Harry!
Marankov's face is set.
Bunin got away.
Not yet. What about the rest?
20 of them. Dead.
And Bunin's on his way to the Gorky, huh?
A helicopter.
Now's our chance, Harry.
The chopper will catch me.
Let's take advantage of it, Sholton. We'll take the whole bunch and the freighter. Half the deep cover agents in Europe are on that boat.
That's war, Harry. You'll make it an international crisis.
What do you think this is?
Come on. It's just another Geiger group attack on a Dutch train. Everybody's used to terrorism these
Harry,
days.
Harry, don't you understand? The terrorism is anybody's bomb until you take their masks off, until they're no longer anonymous.
So let's gather up the dead and put them to work.
Harry strides off under the bridge. Later, in a car, Sholton, Harry, Marankov and Elsa drive, followed by another car and a lorry. They reach a boatyard. Masked and dressed in the black of the Geiger group, four figures get out of each vehicle. The four in the lead vehicle approach a wire fence and cut through it. The rest of the team join them. They run towards a building in the boatyard. Two guards sit playing cards. They don't notice anything.
Dope! Rats! Schnell! Schnell!
They push the guards at gunpoint towards the shed. The guards stumble into the shed. The team handcuff them. Harry sprays a clear fluid onto a pad and holds it over a guard's face. Outside, a black-clad figure keeps watch. He comes in as a second guard sinks to the floor.
Harry, come on!
A white Dutch Coast Guard boat is moored nearby. The team boards.
Just off the bow line.
The boat moves off. Harry moves alongside the cabin towards the prow.
Get
Joe, take over. I hope I can remember how to handle one of these things.
On the deck, two men fix torpedoes into place. Harry goes up a gangway to the top of the cabin. He taps another man on the shoulder. The man goes below. Harry takes the wheel. The Coast Guard boat moves into open water, Harry at the helm. On the skyline, the Maxim Gorky appears. Its funnel bears a hammer and sickle. The commissar, Bunin, raises binoculars. A Dutch Coast Guard torpedo boat. It's okay, we're in international waters. It's not the Dutch Coast Guard, it's a Geiger group. I never thought they'd get away. The commissar and crew argue. The Dutch will be happy if we kill them. We have orders to pick them up. I'm cancelling them. The Dutch boat approaches. The Maxim Gorky captain gives orders. All hands stand to. The crew springs into action. The Dutch boat speeds towards them. The Maxim Gorky crew man a gun tower. They fire on the Dutch boat.
Everybody, give me a hand.
Harry wheels the boat around. Two men on the Dutch boat heave torpedoes out. Bunin watches through binoculars.
Cover up.
The team pull black masks over their faces.
Fire!
A button is pressed. Two torpedoes hit the water. The Maxim Gorky wheels, firing on the Dutch boat. The captain gives the order, full speed, ahead. The bow of the Maxim Gorky turns, torpedoes home in. The Maxim Gorky is hit, the stern bursts into flame, men are thrown by the blast. Under heavy fire, the Maxim Gorky crew works to put out the flames. Men are hurled across the deck. Others man hoses. More men tumble down a gangway. The Dutch boat launches another torpedo. On the Dutch boat, they watch as the Maxim Gorky crew struggles to save the ship. The torpedo approaches. Bunin stares. The Maxim Gorky is hit amidships and engulfed by flames.
Well, I guess we made first prize.
The Dutch boat turns. Marenkov watches the Maxim Gorky sink. His face glows in the flames. The Dutch boat sails on. Later, an aeroplane takes off. Haller enters the cabin.
General, we've just received some intelligence from Moscow. With Bunin gone and Project Winter Harvest exposed, it seems the hawks in the Politburo are out of business.
And what did they say about General Marenkov?
Nothing. Just silence.
Marenkov nods. He turns away. Haller, Harry and Elsa watch him. Haller leaves the cabin. Marenkov sits alone and whistles. Harry and Elsa look downwards.
I'm sorry for him. He knows he can never go home. He's all alone with himself.
Harry considers.
What about us?
Christmas
moon. Maybe we should start working on it.
They clasp hands. Audio description by ITFC.